We're joined this morning from Springfield with by Senator Dale Fowler. Dale, first off, morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Good to be with you again from up here in Capital City.
All right, so should we at Capital City? That's a nice. That's your Simpsons reference for the day. So yesterday, all right, Senate went into session today before the House, but the push yesterday, and I saw it coming out in press releases in the governor's office, preemptive action on progressive tax is the way my takeaway from yesterday in the Republicans.
Yes, and that's something that we have to be very cautious with, Tom. It's, you know, as you all know, you know, I'm an advocate for putting more money in people's pocket and not taking it out. We have to be awful cautious about where we're going with this, and I hope that everyone really sits down and takes a strong look at this and makes the right decision, because this could be crucial to the not only the future of Illinois, but especially my district in Southern Illinois, as we continue to do everything we can to create economic opportunities. We've got a lot of really good momentum going right now, and don't want to see that deracinated whatsoever.
All right. Now, whenever I spoke, you know, because the J.B. Pritzker's name was brought up quite a lot in yesterday's rhetoric concerning the progressive taxes, and I've spoke to him on a number of occasions about this, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, his plan has never really been presented, but there are some plans in previous legislation where taxes would change, says the Illinois Policy Institute, at the $17,000 a year level. He says that's just plain old not true. And one of the first items when I spoke to him last about this, he said, look, progressive taxes are used by almost every state around Illinois. And when I looked, or of course I already knew it, but when I looked, he's right.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And, you know, that's something that we have to take a strong look at. And we do in a lot of pro-business initiatives. We have to take a look at what a lot of our neighboring states are doing that's working. So I think it's just something that everyone's just going to have to be very cautious about and really make sure they do their homework and see how it affects the state, how it affects their district, and move forward.
Because, you know, the subtext here, and you and I have not said it, but the subtext here, Dale, is that taxes are driving people out of the state. When there's less people working, there's less taxes being paid. So, I mean, this is a part of the connotation here. Taxes are driving people out of the state. At the same time, we're talking about more taxes. I mean, you can't ignore this basic formula here. More money out of people's pockets, using your vernacular, well, that leaves people in an exodus from Illinois. And we've got to start paying attention to this, because it's not stopping, and it's not just here. It's Chicago. They've got record losses. The only top 10 metropolitan city in the United States that's lost population was Chicago.
I think that's a significant statement, Tom, and that's what people need to really realize. How crucial time is. You know, we talk about, well, the day's going to go on, the sun's going to come up, time's going to pass. But I have been saying this ever since I became a member of this General Assembly, that time is of the essence, that we, the General Assembly, the legislators, the leadership, everyone wakes up and understands how crucial this is, this time is. We don't have a lot of time to spare here. We have to continue to work toward a better Illinois. And as I mentioned, we need to put money in people's pockets and take it out. Just recently, I had a phone call just recently, 2 weeks ago, from a family of six that's leaving out of my district, and they left with four children that are enrolled in their school district that have left and moved out of the state of Illinois. And that's just one, as we all know, of hundreds and hundreds of examples. And what happens when they do that? They leave with their checkbook. They leave with all their resources. You know, we lose more school funding, and the list goes on and on. So it's a never-ending cycle. It's a bleeding concept that, you know, we're leading the nation and people exiting the state. So, you know, as I say, it's time is of the essence. We have to take this. Everyone has to be serious and really make the right decisions for the state of Illinois, and we have to get back on solid ground, and we need to do it soon.
Many people will be watching closely the SIU Board of Trustees and the potential for shifting around $5.1 million from the Carbondale to Edwardsville campus. That meeting is tomorrow. There have been a number of legislators that have said, wait a minute, let's take some time to think about this. Let's not rush into anything when it comes to voting tomorrow. But still, my understanding is this is on the agenda, the last Board of Trustees agenda that I looked at, and that vote was scheduled for tomorrow.
That's right. And as you just mentioned, Tom, all the downstate legislators, all of us, have publicly stated that everyone needs to take a breath and you know, make the right decision here. We can't take money out of SIU Carbondale. We all know what's going on there with the loss of enrollment. I have been meeting with the chancellor continuously. We talk once or twice a week, and you know, the time and he has a great message. They need to give him the authorization to do what's right for this university. And you know, we can't ship this money out. It's not only going to be crucial and just devastating to our region, it's going to be devastating to the city of Carbondale. We all know what the monies that flow through the city of Carbondale due to the university, and as SIUC being the economic engine for Southern Illinois. And you know, we have advocated that they need to take their time, take a breath, and hold off on this vote and make the right decision. And the community needs to be involved in this decision, Tom. Not just this board, because the community needs to have a voice, and the community is stepping up.
You know, when I spoke with upstate legislators, and I'm talking about all the way north, they said, well, you know, we know this is going on, but it's really an issue of enrollment and math. And, you know, I'm not comfortable with the Carbondale losing the money, but SIUE is where the students are going, and we have to support that. I mean, they were saying, no, I mean, I know it's bad for Carbondale, we know, but you have to look at the enrollment number in Edwardsville, while the people in Carbondale say, look at this campus, it's different. For instance, the research component that exists at SIU that's not at SIUE.
Right, and there's that's why restructuring is imperative for the university. And you know, at Edwardsville, they're doing a great job, and everyone should learn from that. But we have to continue to be a loud voice for SIUC, because you know, I've heard what the numbers for projected incoming freshmen are for this fall, Tom, and it's devastating. And we have to get that university back on track, because we all know the value of that university for Southern Illinois. I'm proud of SIU Edwardsville. I think they're doing an incredible job. But we can support both universities, and that's what we have to do. There was in the 80s, there was 20,000-plus enrolled in SIU Carbondale, and now it's down to, what, 12,000, 13,000, and projected to decline even more. So we have to work toward getting that enrollment up. I think the administration has a good plan, a good structured plan to be able to do that, and we have to be fully supportive of that.
The other item that I'm watching very closely, and that is, of course, the nomination of Tom Britton on Monday, a longtime member of the faculty and staff at SIU Carbondale, being named to the Board of Trustees by the governor. Now, his nomination was read into the record on the Secretary of State on the 9th of this month, but it requires Senate approval. Now, do you know, because I have sources that are telling me, the governor's office made a temporary appointment, which means he can serve and vote in that vote tomorrow. And when the governor makes the permanent appointment, the Senate will read that into the record, and that starts a 60-day session clock to vote on approval for that position at the Board of Trustees. Can you, by chance, confirm to me that there's a temporary appointment that Mr. Britton will be voting or not voting, as the case may be, tomorrow?
Tom, that is my understanding, that he will be at that meeting, and he will have authorization to vote. That's my understanding.
Because there's a subtext here, Dale, that I've watched over the years, and it's made me uneasy, and many people tell me this is a coming inevitability, that the vote will happen, and they will at some point, this will come back, it's been in the legislature before, of splitting the two campuses into two distinct university programs.
Yes, it's that's in the discussion. It is, Tom. I haven't been fully briefed on that initiative, but you know, we have two great universities there, and you know, we can support both of them, and you know, we just have to ensure that they're both viable, and they're both sustainable, and they both have the opportunity to grow.
Yesterday, out of the Senate committee, 8-2 vote on Senator Heather Stearns' bill that requires public schools to teach LGBT roles and contributions in history. What can you tell me about this piece of legislation?
Well, that piece of legislation, Tom, is one of my concerns, and I think the concerns of a lot of legislators, that you know, we don't need any more unfunded mandates. So that's something that we have to be continually looking towards, and not put any more stress on our schools and on our districts with unfunded mandates. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, like any bill that's especially pertains to education, we just have to be extremely cautious and make sure it doesn't put a burden on the financial status of our school districts.
Listeners that reached out to me after learning about this story, it was the age in which they questioned, and some had asked me to clarify at what age this education program could begin, because I had been told that it starts in kindergarten through 12th grade.
Right. That's exactly right. That's my understanding, Tom. You know, we'll see where this goes. It's going to be it's going to be a debated topic. It's going to be a topic that hopefully everyone will really study hard in the General Assembly and make the proper decision on this, because we can't continue to put more stress on our education.
8 days ago, a tornado started about a block from my house. It really kind of started right on top of my house. I know this because the dog told me so. And then, of course, I got the map, and I knew the dog was pretty smart. But the fact is, it ginned up. And as it came into your district, specifically in Galatia, some damage there, largely in the rural farming community there. You've been out taking a look at what's gone on. What are the ramifications? Will there be state assistance, or is it just we all go to insurance companies and we stay, as you're all together too familiar with, being the former mayor of Harrisburg, below the threshold for assistance? What's your thoughts there, Dale?
Well, thank goodness, Tom. First of all, thank goodness there wasn't any injuries or any fatalities. That's obviously number one. I did tour the areas, especially in the Galatia area. I believe there was around 10 homes that were affected, and I believe there was four that were totally lost, one just completely into shambles. Fortunately, everyone seems to, other than a couple households, seem to have the proper insurance required that they needed. My foundation has been incredibly involved in this, with helping some of these kids that lost everything that they had, and the families that lost everything that they had. But, you know, we're going to see moving forward. I have been in conversation with the governor's office about any assistance that could be possibly coming to fruition here. But, again, thankfully it wasn't worse than it was. It was, you know, and you know how everyone steps up in Southern Illinois, Tom. When I toured the next day, it was the people were out there cleaning up, and the neighbors and friends and families and churches and organizations that stepped in. And I tell you, it was an eerie feeling for me, Tom, because I was right in the direct path of the Leap Day tornado that went up right over my house. And praise God, we didn't lose our home, but you know, the home was right across the street from me. We're totally lost, and we was able to repair ours. We had major damage, but to walk through that rumble, it was devastating to me, and it was chilling, the fact of what we went through, you know, in 2012. And we just praise God that no one was, there wasn't fatalities, as I mentioned, or injuries. And it's everyone was very upbeat. Obviously they were in shock, but just so glad that everybody's okay and they're going to be able to rebuild. And the morale was strong, and that was a plus. That was good to see.
Evidence-based formula for school funding. The checks are going out. $350 million worth of checks going to public schools, and another $50 million behind it. That is going to make some superintendents in your district very happy.
Well, we're glad we're able to get this funding out the door, Tom. Hopefully it will be sustainable. I'm extremely excited for the work groups that worked so hard to put this together, you know, to keep our schools strong. As you all know, I have been a strong advocate for education parity. To our children and our school districts deserve the same opportunity as the kids and school districts in Chicago. It hasn't been that way, and I'm going to continue to work hard for education parity. You know, when you have some schools that, you know, we hear a lot about some schools, you know, serving sushi and whatever it may be, and then you look at some of the school districts in my district. I mean, my goodness, Tom, I have one high school that doesn't even have a cafeteria within the school.
Right.
And That's why we have to continue to work hard for education parity, that our kids in my district and in Southern Illinois deserve the same opportunity as the children in the more affluent areas of Chicago.
You know, a project that the senator and I and many other people have been working on is Southern Illinois Made. It is getting closer and closer, and this is going to be going on in Marion at the Pavilion. What have you got new to share with us this morning, Senator?
I tell you what, Tom, I am incredibly excited about this. This is something that's been on my agenda for a long time. I actually, when I went through the Delta Regional Authority, Delta Leadership Institute, and made my presentation, I showcased my presentation was based on Illinois Delta-made products. For those that don't know, the southern 16 counties of Illinois is the most northern region of the Delta Regional Authority. And my presentation was showcasing some Illinois-made products, such as Dinger Bats, as an example. And this has always been on my mind about all the incredible Southern Illinois-made manufactured products that we have. And especially now that I'm going around 13 counties and visiting with businesses and small business development centers and the chambers and such. And so I decided I wanted to put this event together called Southern Illinois Made Expo, and collaborating with the regional chambers of commerce and putting this together. This has been about 6-8 months in the work and the making, and is now official. And, you know, it's going to be at the Pavilion in Marion and on July the 28th and 29th from 10 to 4. And we're going to be able to showcase all the incredible products that are made and manufactured in Southern Illinois. The website for this is simade.org. And as you mentioned, Tom, I am so excited to have River Radio as a presenting sponsor. And we have many, many other sponsors that are jumping on board. And the mail out from the regional chambers is going to be going out next week. And then I know River Radio, you guys are working hard on getting the message out. And, you know, we're going to have room for, I believe it's 132 vendors. To qualify to be a vendor, you have to be a Southern Illinois made and manufactured product. Tom, we haven't even really kicked off our marketing yet. We have the website, our Facebook page, and we already have almost 70 vendors signed up. We confirmed our sixth sponsor for this event. And the caveat to all this, Tom, is the vendors are going to pay a nominal fee to be there to showcase their product. I believe it's around $50. And then we're going to charge a slight admission fee. And the caveat to all this is all the proceeds are going to go to Honor Flight of Southern Illinois. And Tom, yesterday it was confirmed I had applied for a grant through Egyptian Realtors Association to help offset the expenses of this event. And they announced up here in Springfield yesterday, because they're up here, they announced to me that we were awarded the grant.
Good.
Which is going to offset all of our expenses, and 100% of all the proceeds are going to go to Honor Flight of Southern Illinois.
And that's good news. This morning, Admiral Nancy Brown was in the studio making the official flight number 4 announcement for October 16th. And when I was speaking with, what does one flight cost? $90,000.
Yes, it's gone up. It's going up each and every. And, you know, Tom, we just have to continue. That's why I'm so excited about this event. And I'm so excited about everyone that has stepped up and want to be a part of this. You know, from River Radio to the Realtors Association and just everyone, you know, Crown Line Boats. I mean, the list goes on and on. They love this concept. And really what's special about this as well, Tom, and not only are we going to be showcasing Southern Illinois-made products, I don't care if it's a Johnson's barbecue sauce, if it's an Isom sunroof, whatever it is, you know, we're going to be showcasing all these products. And we're also going to have an area designated to tourism. Our convention and visitor bureaus are going to be there. We're going to have area designated to destinations. And, you know, it's just going to be an event that is going to be quite special. And then also on that Saturday morning on the 28th, there's going to be a 2-hour window before it's open to the public where wholesalers are going to come in. And we're setting up this time to bring these wholesalers in to inspect these products and look at these products that hopefully, you know, they would want to stock on their shelves one day.
Right.
So that's one thing that I really enjoyed doing, Tom, is the state senator, is really promoting the incredible resources that we have right here. If it's incredible products that are made manufacturing in Southern Illinois, if it's our rivers, our rails, our lakes, our workforce, you know, let's really capitalize our tourism. The list goes on and on. So I'm excited about it. Again, the website.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell you were excited.
It's incredible. It's incredible what we have in Southern Illinois.
It is.
And it's going to give these businesses an opportunity to showcase what they do, and their website will be linked to our website. You can go on the website right now and see the vendors that are set up, and their websites are there. So, and the vendors are going to have an opportunity to sell their product, and it's going to be. I'm a little excited about it.
Like I just said, no, nobody can tell you're excited. It couldn't happen. Senator Dale Fowler, and I got more, but we've run out of time this morning, Senator. So we'll get together again soon, Senator Dale Fowler. Before I let you go, got about 30 seconds. What do you anticipate in Springfield today?
I have a lot of committees today. I have agriculture, I have gaming. Don't know what kind of floor action that we'll have. We didn't have any floor action yesterday. There could possibly be some floor action today. So, but a lot of committees. You know, I'm really really involved in that. I have my economic commerce committee on Thursday. Have a lot of really good bills that we're going to be presenting for economic development. And it's going to be fun. And, Tom, before we go, I just want to say thank you. I had an opportunity to be with you on Saturday, and I just want to say thank you to you for everything that you do for autism, the Autism Society. I know I told you I was going to mention this, and you kind of said you don't have to talk about me, but I just want to say God bless you for all you do. My gospel sing that I'm going to be having on June 30th in downtown El Dorado, my second annual, I'm going to have a couple of autistic young gentlemen that are going to be singing as part of the program, and I just want to say thank you for all you do, Tom, because as you all know, it's special to my heart as well, and thank you.
I'm honored that you even brought it up, Dale. I thank you, I think is the word that I'm looking for. I'm very moved by that, so I appreciate it. That's something that I like to do and spend my time with because I know I can help.